I have seen clients who have been quoted very large penalties. For example, on a $500,000 mortgage, I've seen penalties in the range of 3 to 4%. So if you apply that math, 3% of 500,000 is 15,000 and 4% is 20,000. When you calculate that as part of the cost of credit, you see that the real rate that you paid may not be what you see on the documents, but it could potentially be 1 to 1.5% more than what you think you're paying. So the penalties are really big deal in residential and commercial lending. So in my experience, clients almost entirely focus on the lowest rate and they ignore the potential cost of breaking the mortgage later. And the reason for that is because they don't see that as a threat. But statistics show that anywhere between 15 to 40%, depending on where you see the statistics, show that people do break their mortgages for so many things outside of their control. I actually list them all in chapter 2 or 3 of my book, From Debt to Zero. I list all the different reasons why a person may break a penalty, from health issues, they need to access equity, to losing a job and needing to access equity for debt consolidation. Maybe they bought a property on a neighborhood that they don't no longer like. Sometimes they break the penalty because their family dynamics changed and now they are moving to a place closer to the university of one of the kids. Sometimes there's a business opportunity and they need to take this business opportunity and they need access to capital. So the existing lender does not provide the capital, so they have to break the penalty to go to another lender. Moving from one location to the next, and even though the mortgage might be transferable, sometimes the banks deny that transfer or portability and they have to pay the penalty. So divorce, the list is endless. So those are the questions, the answers. In my 2 decades of working with mortgages, I see one of the biggest mistakes that borrowers make when choosing a long-term fixed mortgage. Basically, what happens is that a lot of people just follow the crowd and they just pick 5-year terms because it seems psychologically that it's a good length, so not far away in the future and not so short. But there's other terms that are really good. For example, when you go to a 3-year term, the penalty is not as high as a 5-year term. 10-year terms have an amazing value because the penalty in most mortgages depends on the length of the mortgage. But as I write in this article, because of legislation, after 5 years, 10-year mortgages only carry 3-month interest, okay? So, for example, when you see that mortgages are really, really low, like during COVID, the most successful people were the ones who took 10-year terms, even though at that time it was 1% higher than the lowest rates. But if I saw some people take 10-year terms, and when they do that, right now they still have lots of room at a super low rate that they could benefit for years to come. And they're not forced at renewal to, renew at a higher rate. Actually, the reason why most people cannot quote IRDs is because it's very difficult to calculate, because it depends on future values of interest rate, which nobody knows. So because of that, it is not possible to calculate today what the penalty is going to be in the future. But based on from experience, I can fairly say that fixed mortgage rates could draw penalties from on the low side, say 1%. On the higher side, it could go up to 5%. I think if you search on Google, the record has been a penalty of about $90,000 that was charged, I believe, with a major bank. A lot of refinances stopped at the lawyer because the IRD penalty has not been calculated properly, and the clients get shocked when they see the big penalty that the bank is asking them to pay at the lawyer in the statement of adjustments. So it's always very important to ask for the penalty quote in writing before you commit to anything.